for one and one for another. With the name of love above all other. And every faith, a heart, a fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
And welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. Glad you could join us today. I'm the Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for this great Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. And it's always good every week to spend an hour with you talking about some of the issues that we face in life and some of the struggles that we deal with. And today is going to be one of those shows that I think is going to change your life. I really do. We're going to be talking today about a topic that really affects all of us. And I know that in my own life, there's been two or three times in my life where I've gone through very difficult things in my life where the only answer to it was that I forgive, that I release, that I move on. And I got to tell you that in some cases, it hasn't been that easy to do that. But I know that those difficult times in my life have oftentimes been some of the greatest moments of growth in my life. And I'm also aware that throughout life's journey, there are times where you simply don't understand all the details. But you do have to make a decision as to whether you're going to trust Christ and whether you're going to put your confidence in Him, knowing that He knows you, and He has your best interest in mind. In fact, that's what love is. Love is treating somebody knowing that they are an eternal being, and you want the eternal good for them. A little bit later on here, we're going to have a wonderful guest. We have a story today that, I got to be honest with you, it's one of those stories where if you told me your story, I'd say, yeah, but have you heard this story? Deb Hadley is going to join us in a few minutes, and what life dealt her was staggering. It was shocking. And most of us would say, I could never deal with that. Yet, Deb is going to be here today, and she's going to tell you her story that literally within a year lost two of her children. I'm going to wait and let her tell you that story. But I want to start off and just kind of encourage you. You know that all of us have the experience of being hurt in our life, whether it's the loss of a loved one or whether somebody said something about us or we lost a job, whatever it is, but there's been a deep wound in our heart. And there's been an emotional bruise by someone that we love or an acquaintance at work or even a stranger. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 16 and verse 33, He said, if you follow me, life is going to be a bowl of cherries. It's all going to work out. Don't worry about a thing. It's going to be a lot of fun. That is not what the scripture says. I read the wrong note there. John 16, 33 says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. Be encouraged. I have overcome the world. And I just want to take a moment to encourage you today. You're driving down the road and you've got a lot going on in your life. Maybe you've experienced quite a loss. Maybe you're going through quite a trial in your life right now. I want you to know, take courage. Jesus Christ has overcome the world. He tells us ahead of time that we're going to have problems. We're going to have trouble. We all know that. Yet sometimes, and I know this is true in my own life, we act as though we didn't see it coming. And I thought that just life was going to be great, especially since I serve you, Lord, life is going to be great. What we will see today in this broadcast is that God has given us the ability to find freedom in the midst of being hurt, but it will require us to walk as Jesus walked. You know, I think one of the hardest things about being a Christian is not the pancake breakfast after Sunday Mass. I don't think that one of the hardest things is teaching CCD or being a volunteer for a confirmation class. I think that one of the hardest things, if not the hardest thing, is picking up our cross and following Jesus. I think it's picking up our cross and walking as though he did. Laying our lives down is one of the most difficult things. And we're going to talk about a number of troubles that we go through, all the way from an amazing loss in our life and a shocking and a sudden loss in our life, which Deb Hadley is going to talk to us about today, to somebody hurting us on purpose at work or saying something about us that defamed us and hurt us. Well, we're going to talk about those, and I'm looking forward to this because I think that this broadcast and Deb's testimony, some of the things that we're going to share, can actually set you free. You know that Jesus said, he talks about being a stumbling block, and you know, there's a lot of times that we go to work and someone says something, or an email is passed around, or we experience a loss in our life, and we end up, you know, kind of feeling like we were hurt. And there's a Greek word for that. When we talk about stumbling blocks, the Greek word for stumbling block is skandalon. And you're familiar with that word. You know what word I'm hinting at right there. Scandal. Maybe you were scandalized at work or family reunion or something like that. And as a result of it, you've experienced a tremendous hurt and a wound in your life. Or maybe something happened with a loved one in your life and you have some anger towards God. Well, a stumbling block is that which gives offense, an object of anger or disapproval. It's an interesting thing because if you look at a mouse trap, that part that they put the cheese on, that little bar that they put the cheese on, in Greek is called the skandalon. The skandalon. You're familiar with that word. It's the name of the part of the trap that the cheese is put on, and it comes from the idea of a bait stick. In other words, there's a trap being set for you. Now, if you lost somebody suddenly in your life, we're not saying that there's suddenly a bait stick for you, but if somebody gossiped about you at work, or you were really, really injured by something that a relative said at a family reunion, there might be a bait stick there. To be offended is to be trapped. And it's interesting, you know, when you look at traps, a trap is designed to do two things. One, not look like a trap. You know, when was the last time that you set a trap for a mouse and the mouse looked at the trap and said, you know what, it looks like a trap. I think I'll just take my chances and step in it. When was the last time you thought that there was a trap laid for you by the enemy and you thought, well, go ahead, take a step? No, a trap is made to look like it's not a trap. And then number two, a trap is designed to be stronger than the one it is intended for. So if you're going to be trapped by an offense, what somebody says, or the circumstances of life that suddenly set you back and you become very offended and angry with God, it wasn't set up to be a trap. It wasn't built to look like a trap. But I got news for you, and that is this: the enemy would love to take the difficulties of our life and blame them on God and set you against God. We're going to talk about a lot of these things today, but I'm going to take a break here. And when we come back, we're going to be talking with Deb Hadley, and she's from Sleepy Eye, Minnesota. In fact, you know what? My first producer for the Morning Air Show was from Sleepy Eye. She was Miss Sleepy Eye. That's right. We'll talk more about that later. But when we come back, we're going to talk about Deb Hadley's story, which is an amazing story, and to see what God did in her life when we talk about this topic of forgiveness. You're looking and listening at the Rediscover Hour. We'll be right back. Rediscover.
Travel back in time from St. Paul's bustling downtown harbor through the Mississippi National Great River Park aboard the Paddleford Riverboats. There are daily sightseeing tours perfect for all ages. The 1.5-hour cruises aboard the Paddleford Riverboats features comfortable enclosed seating for sunshine and open views of the St. Paul skyline and Mississippi National Park and Recreational Area. Paddleford Riverboats are the ideal venue for longer company parties, meetings, school functions, graduations, and weddings. Dates are still available for this summer. Paddleford Riverboats operate from Harriet Island Regional Park in downtown St. Paul. For a schedule or to find group information, visit riverrides.com or call 651-227-1100. Since 1969, Paddleford Riverboats have entertained more than 4 million passengers. Come on board. That's riverrides.com or 651-227-1100.
To the Rediscover Hour, Jeff Cavins with you, Director of Evangelization Catechesis in this great Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. You know, I remember a number of years ago that there was a lady who lost a beautiful girl to a drunk driver driving down the road. And after the funeral and after a few weeks went by, the mother decided on what she was going to do. How was she going to react to this? And she ended up doing something very, very positive and developing what we know today as MAD, or Mothers Against Drunk Driving. If you've been offended or you have been hurt in a deep way, how are you responding? I want you to take a few minutes now and listen to an amazing story of Deb Hadley. Deb Hadley is from Sleepy Eye, Minnesota, and I'm not even going to go into what happened to her because it's really riveting. And when I listened to the story, I thought, wow. And then I saw the videotape of Deb talking about this, and I'm going to tell you about that a little bit later on the show, how you can get that videotape. But after listening into it and watching it, I thought, wow, it's amazing. So all the way from Sleepy Eye, Minnesota, Deb Hadley, welcome to the Rediscover Hour.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for having me on the show.
It's good to have you on the show. And, you know, I don't know if you know the Spaiths out there, but Laura Spaith was my first producer.
Oh, is that right? Well, of course we know Laura Spaeth and Chuck Spaithford right here in Sleepy Eye. So, yeah, she's a great, great gal. What a small world, huh?
It is. It really is. Deb, I'm so glad that you're joining us on the show today. And I know that it's difficult to talk about what we're going to get into here. And I admire you and I appreciate your courage in responding to the tragedies in your life the way you have. But take our listeners through the last couple of years and what happened in your life. What was life like before what you're going to talk about in a moment?
Sure. Well, first of all, I have to tell you that I've lost my voice for almost a year now. And it's been basically diagnosed as just a place where I hold my grief is in my vocal cords and in my chest. And so just dealing with that, so you have to bear with me because sometimes, especially if I get emotional, it'll be hard to hear me at all.
We're going to stay with you here.
Okay, thank you. You know, life was pretty simple, and life is really good. I have a stepson named Josh and a stepdaughter named Jessie. They're 31 and 29, and my daughter Kaylee, who's from my first marriage, she was 24, and then my husband and I have Tyler together, and he was 20. And life was good. I have a good job and a good family, and I felt that I had a strong faith, and I was raising my family to have a strong faith as well, the best that I could, the best that I knew how. And it's crazy how I look at it now, because things that were really a big deal in my life were things that you were just saying. One of the biggest things was when people talked about me. Mm. When I heard that someone said something about me or if I was misunderstood, it really affected me. It was such a big deal, and I really took it to heart, and I really made it a big deal in my life. And things were a big deal.
Uh-huh. As they are for so many people.
Right, and it's hard because you can't focus on all the great things in your life. All you can focus is on that, you know, the person that said that to you or the person that said that about you, and you just feel your world caving in on you, and you just sweat the small stuff all the time. And it wasn't until my daughter, Kaylee, she actually was diagnosed with epilepsy when she was 20 years old. And she and my mom and I were out in Chicago. She just graduated from college. She was an English teacher, just a dynamic, young, beautiful gal. And for her graduation gift, we went to Chicago on the Megabus, and we ran around all over the place and just had a blast.
Where did she graduate in Chicago?
She graduated from Minnesota State University, Mankato.
Oh, okay.
But she wanted to go to Chicago because she wanted to go to the Billy Elliot play.
Okay.
And so that's why we went out there. On the way home, Kaylee suffered a grand mal seizure, and I found that I don't handle tragic situations very well. We were on the Megabus, and when, I don't know if you've ever seen a grand mal seizure, but she stopped breathing and she started turning blue and her eyes rolled. And it was one of the scariest, horrific things I'd ever seen. And of course, I handled it like any great mother would by screaming and telling them to pull over the bus. And was there, you know, a nurse. And it, thank God there was a nurse sitting right next to me in the seat. And ended up at the hospital that night and found out through going to a neurologist that Kaylee had epilepsy. And it came on when she was 20 years old. When she was little, she rolled her eyes once in a while, and we just took it as a little nervous tic. But they said that those are little absent seizures, and people either grand mal into it or they grow out of it. And Kaylee's someone that grand mal'd into it. And so we found out she had epilepsy, and we had been dealing with this. She ended up getting a teaching job at Martin County West. She was a theater coach and a speech coach. The kids absolutely loved her. She was engaged to be married to the love of her life. Life was going awesome. And we started seeing another doctor because I felt that her seizures, they started out maybe once a month, and then medication was controlling them. But all of a sudden, she would get immune to the medication, and so she started having them more often.
Was she having grand mal seizures more often, or just what you would call a regular seizure?
They were grand mal.
Okay.
Every seizure that she ever had was that we would ever have witnessed was a grand mal
okay.
seizure. But with Kaylee, her seizures were different because they only happened when she woke up. So she would either have to, you know, be sleeping and wake up from a nap, or wake up in the morning. So a lot of times she would have seizures and no one would know because she was living by herself at the time when she was teaching, except for she would maybe fall and then she'd started to dislocate her shoulder. So then we started to know that you had a seizure because her shoulder was dislocated and it was happening a lot. So we ended up going to the Mayo Clinic, and I remember looking down with her at all the people that come into Mayo and just seeing that, you know, I was so grateful that we knew what was wrong with her.
Right.
And that some of these people weren't going to make it out of there because the sickest people in the world come to the Mayo Clinic.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were switching her medication. She was on one type of medication, and they decided that they would add another medication to her, and once that the levels got even, they would take her off her original one. So they were going to keep her on her medication, add this new one, and slowly take her off the old one, and decided that they were thinking that that would really help her.
Mm-hmm.
We had gone about 4 months without having a seizure at all, and it was June 4th that I spoke to her. It was her last day of teaching. June 5th was her last day of teacher workshops.
Mm-hmm.
She had resigned from her teaching position because she was moving home, she was getting married, and she was going to be moving up to the cities. And I remember saying that I'm so grateful she was on this double medication because I didn't worry about her at all. And she's like, me too. And she went out with her teacher friends, and she said goodbye. And June 5th, she was coming home, and she didn't come home.
She was coming back to the house.
Yep, she was moving home.
Mm-hmm. What happened? You say she started to come home, but she never made it home. What happened between the time that she left and the time that you expected her?
I would always tell the doctors that when she seizured, it was long and hard, and I was afraid she would stop breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said the chances of that are so slim. And she actually died of cardiac arrest.
On the way home?
She, when she was done with her friends going out and all the emotion of just saying goodbye of where she was, she laid down to take a nap before she drove home.
Okay.
And then she woke up from the nap, is what we're assuming. And she was able to get herself into the bathroom. And it was in the bathroom that she went into a seizure. And then she died.
And so that was June 5th, 2000. That wasn't very long ago. That was only in 2013.
It was 2 years ago.
Yep.
On Friday, yeah.
What a tragic event. What a shock in your...
It was such a shock, yeah.
In your life, and especially at a time when you're expecting so many wonderful changes. I mean, every mother looks forward to that time when their kids grow up and they're engaged, looking forward to a wedding, and then all of a sudden that happens. What happened to your world at that point? And you must have gone almost into an emotional paralysis. Because I know that if something like that happened to me, it would. One of the first things I would do is look to God and say, "What is going on here?" And I would imagine that you must have done that.
You know, I did, Jeff. I looked to God, and what I realized is that all these years of, you know, my whole life growing up Catholic and, you know, going to church every Sunday and raising my kids to go to church every Sunday and receiving all the sacraments that I could possibly receive and going to reconciliation. And, you know, now I lay me down to sleep before I go to bed and, mm-hmm. you know, bless the Lord for these are gifts and the Hail Marys and the Our Fathers and everything that when she died, I didn't know who God was.
Mm.
I felt that I never really had built a relationship with him, that perhaps he was walking alongside me and that I leaned on him and when I needed him, which was really not too often because life was pretty doggone good,
sure.
But had a really strong, glorious faith because life was good. God answered my prayers in so many ways. And it took me to be stripped so low to start to build a relationship with the Lord.
That's an interesting idea, isn't it? And we hear that a lot, don't we, Deb, of people who things happen in their life, and they use that exact same language, that it was like I was being stripped of everything that I had hoped for, and that began my new relationship with God. But what's interesting about your story, and not so much interesting, but a part of your story that is very, very powerful, is that the tragedy really doesn't end right there, does it?
No. No. Boy, Jeff, I haven't talked about this for a while.
Let me just say this, Deb, and to all of you, you know, who are listening, all my friends, that what we're hearing right now is not the story of somebody that has experienced something 10 years ago and worked through it and wrote a book and gave a lot of talks. We're talking to a sister in Christ who has experienced a great tragedy with the loss of her beautiful daughter, Kaylee, and she's going to share with you something else that happened, but we're listening to a sister who, this is relatively still fresh in your life, and you're very courageous, and I thank you for sharing it with us. And we're talking about forgiveness today, you know, on the Rediscover Hour.
Yeah. So I had, you know, when Kaylee passed, I spent a lot of time with the Lord, like on my knees, and really just begging Him to carry me and to carry the pain. I think when the thing that I didn't realize is that the physical pain would be so overwhelming and so immense, you know, that it wasn't just emotional, it was so completely physical, and found myself praying a lot. I was given a Jesus calling book years and years ago and never really read it that often, and started to read that, and then started to read the scriptures on the bottom, and about 5 to 7 years before this, my stepdaughter Jessica gave me a study Bible, and I just looked at that and I thought, what do you think I should do with that? You know, there were so many words, and then it had all the words on the bottom, and I'm like, oh, do I read it from cover to cover, or what do I do with that? And I started to read just the scripture that it told me to, and then I started to read like the whole chapter, and then I started to read all the study notes, and the word, it just really started to come to life, and slowly I felt I was beginning to build a relationship and understand who the Holy Spirit was. And I was going to morning mass. I did that almost all the time. I was really to the point where I, anything normal is just hard to do. And it's really hard to focus on all the good in your life, because I still have my son, Tyler, and then my stepdaughter, Jessica, and her husband, and my, you know, stepdaughter's stepson, Josh. I have grandchildren. My parents are living. I have a great family, a wonderful husband, friends, good job, everything. And it's just really hard to focus or to see any of the goodness. When something is taken from you, all you can focus on is what you've lost.
Sure. And starting in 2013, dealing with the loss of your beautiful daughter, Kaylee, was enough. But move us into 2014. Something else happened.
Right. So I, as I was dealing with my faith, I went up to a conference called Set Apart. It was up, I believe, in Roseville, because I was really working on my faith. And while I was
kind of breaking up there just a little bit. But you went up to Roseville, and you were working on your faith, and then what happened? Having a difficulty right now. I think it's a technical difficulty. We're talking right now with Deb Hadley, and out of Sleepy Eye, Minnesota, and she's been describing the tragic loss of Kaylee, her daughter, 24-year-old daughter, died June 5th, 2013. When we come back from the break, I think what we're going to do is we're going to go back and we're going to pick up where we left off, and Deb has more to tell about her story, and then we're going to move into this issue of forgiveness. What do you do in your life when you feel like something has happened and life just isn't going your way? Do you need to forgive? We're talking about a serious issue here with Deb, but what about those that gossiped at work? What about those that said something about you in an email? I'm Jeff Cavins, and this is the Rediscover Hour. We'll be back right after this.
Rediscover.
This is Dale Alquist with a Chesterton Academy Minute. Do you know where you're going to send your child to high school? It's one of the most important decisions you'll ever make, even more important than where you send them to college. G.K. Chesterton said that the one thing that is not taught in most of our schools today is that there is a whole truth of things, and that in knowing it and speaking it, we are happy. At Chesterton Academy, we teach the whole truth of things. We develop our students into complete thinkers. Our unique, classical, integrated curriculum ties together the arts, the sciences, philosophy, math, logic, great literature, faith, and reason. Combine that with daily mass and a low tuition. Send your child to us. We still have some spaces available for the fall of 2015. Call us at 952-378-1779. That's 952-378-1779. Or visit chestertonacademy.org.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. What do you do when life throws you a curve and somebody says something about you, or something happens in your life, and perhaps you're even upset with God in your life at some tragedy or a loss that's taken place? We're talking today on the Rediscover Hour about forgiveness, and Deb Hadley has done just a wonderful job and a courageous job of talking about losing her beautiful 24-year-old daughter, Kaylee, on June 5th. Of 2013, not too long ago. Deb, before the break, you were talking about the loss of Kaylee and how you're trying to rebuild your faith. You came to Roseville, Minnesota for a conference, some kind of meeting. And so you're in the midst of rebuilding your faith. But then 2014, something else happens. Take us there.
So it was 9 months later, 9 months and 2 days, actually. And on my daughter's 9 month anniversary, the rest of my family had all gotten together and to celebrate just Kaylee's passing into heaven. And 2 days later, I was up at this conference and my husband had called me an accident in the sleepy eye. And the weather had been bad. Where's Tyler?
We're losing you, Deb. You're in and out. And I think what we'll try to do is continue on here and see if we can't get you back. And I'm not sure if you're on a landline or not.
I'm not on a landline. Is it better if I move? Can you hear me okay here?
Well, I think I can hear you now. But if we fade out again, then what I'll do is I'll just ask you to hang up and we'll call you back on your landline. Do we have our landline? We don't have a landline.
I don't have a landline.
Oh, you don't? Right. Oh, we're going to continue on then. It's right. You know what? When life throws you curves, we continue to just respond. We're doing a good job here.
Go with it.
We can hear you now. Great. Go ahead.
Okay. And so anyway, he just said that he didn't know where Tyler was. And it was about 10:15, and I had text Tyler, and I said, "Hey, where are you?" And he didn't answer me. And then I called him, and he didn't answer me. And I knew that something was wrong because Kaylee didn't answer me when I asked her where she was. And it was a rule in our family that if mother sends a message that you better let her know where you are.
Right.
And so it was about 10 o'clock that night and I was in the bathroom in the hotel and everyone thought I was crazy because I felt that Tyler had been in that accident. And I called the police department myself and I said, "I need you to tell me that Tyler Hadley was not in that accident." And the police officer was just, and my heart just sank. And wow. I said, I need to know if he's in the helicopter and he has a fighting chance or if he's already passed. And at that time, he said, we're on our way to your house. And I said, "Well, I'm not there." And I was not as calm as I'm talking to you right now.
I guess not.
Yeah, but the officer told me that that he had already passed and that there were actually 4 boys that passed away in the accident. And my heart just sank because I wondered what other parents were going to have to go through what I had just gone through. And so I had asked who they were. And slowly he told me who they were. John Mangan was one, who was one of Tyler's very best friends, and I know the family, and my heart just sank for their family. And then the next one was Peyton Adams, and Tyler's one of his best friends was Kansas, and I asked, "How about Kansas?" And Kansas was the driver of the car. Peyton, his brother, had died, and Kansas was actually up in the helicopter. And I said, "We have to pray for Kansas because his mother can't lose 2 children."
Wow.
And then the 4th boy, they didn't know only because he wasn't from our town and he didn't have ID on him. And he was friends of Kansas's brother. So then it was from that point that I think the whole entire hotel woke up where I was because I didn't handle that news very well.
Mm-hmm. But what went through your mind at that point? I mean, you're still not really through the loss of Kaylee. And you never really will be completely through with the loss of a child, but it was so fresh. That wound is so tender, and then this happens within 9 months. What was going through your mind?
There was a lot going through my mind. So many different things. First of all, I thought, "Well, God, what did I do to you to deserve something like this?" And the story of Job, was I being punished somehow, some way? What did he want from me? I kept asking that, "What do you want from me? What is it that you want from me?" Realizing that there was really nothing that God really wanted from me. Another thing I thought is that Tyler missed his sister so much that his heart was so ready to go that if he could have chosen any place to be in the whole wide world at that moment, that he would have wanted to be with her. And I could just visualize her being there with him and him looking up and her saying, you know, Ty, I'm here, and the two of them just, oh, Mom's going to be so mad. And they're like, oh, yeah, she'll get over it. We'll be okay. We'll take care of her. But my mind just raced. But I didn't know how I was going to live, because just about every day with Kaylee, with her passing, I didn't want to live.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was really afraid.
Was there any, when we talk about unforgiveness at a time like this, was there anybody, even God, that you thought in your heart, I'm holding unforgiveness. This is something that I can't forgive.
I don't think that I ever was mad at God. I didn't understand, but I chose that I was going to trust him, mm-hmm. and that he would carry me and carry my pain. I was angry for the longest time at the doctors, because I felt that things could have been done differently. And so I was very upset with the doctors. In fact, I was sure that I was going to sue everybody because I was so angry with them. You know, and of course, then there's the driver of the car. And, you know, was he going too fast for conditions? What was going on there? And so, yeah, there was a lot of anger at that time. I was angry at God on and off, but honestly, I knew that my kids were in heaven, and I knew my kids were with God, and I knew that I could never turn my back on him, because that's where I'm going.
Sure.
I'm going to get there. And I have a hard time understanding when someone loses someone, how they can turn their back against God, because I'm going. You know, and I'm going to do everything I possibly can, and I'm going to help as many others get there as I possibly can, because it's just the ultimate goal. And losing my kids made me realize that.
You know what we're going to do, Deb? We're going to kind of shift the show a little bit here. At the top of the hour, I was talking about forgiveness, and certainly forgiveness is a part of this. But as I hear your story, your remarkable story of losing Kaylee on June 5th, and on March 7th, the next year, 2014, your son, Tyler, I think about suffering, you know?
Yeah.
I think about redemptive suffering and people asking, why me? What do I do with this? And I want to kind of shift the show there a little bit, because I know that you needed to release and to forgive, and that's very, very important. But what did you do with your suffering? Did you bury the suffering and the pain as a result of the loss of Kaylee and your son Tyler? Did you bury it, and did it become what St. John Paul II would call moral suffering, or that deep, deep wound of the heart? What did you do with that suffering?
Well, so we have this straight, is that I lost two children in 9 months and 2 days. So the time that it takes to bear a child, I lost my two biological children.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the amazing things that happened is that, you know, when Kaylee passed away, I was the grieving mother. I was so sick, I couldn't help anyone. I just sat on the couch and just stared straight ahead. And I felt that in the time after she died, that I almost was reborn again, that Kaylee allowed me to release a lot of anger and baggage that I had in me. She made me realize what was important in life and what wasn't. Mm-hmm. She made me appreciate what I had. And then working on my faith, when Tyler passed away, I was completely different. I wasn't the grieving mother. Tyler's friends were so broken and so messed up. And the whole town was just on their knees, because these were local boys right on the edge of town. And so people were at my house 24 hours a day because they were so distraught. And I was praying with them, letting them know, and really doing a lot of ministry at that time. And with my grief, too, because of the outpouring of love that came around, is I was very open and vocal about it, and how I was feeling and what I needed. And what I needed from people. And I felt this whole community of love just growing. And it was as if God was missing in the lives of so many. And because of this tragedy, he was working his way back in. And so much goodness was coming. And so I really took it, and it took me a while. I feel like I'm a completely different person than I was 15 months ago when Tyler passed away. Mm-hmm. And I'm not so broken. And I prayed that I would be the mother that would be so grateful that God had given me my children, that out of everyone in the world, that I would be the one to be able to have them, and that He chose me to be their mother because they were fantastic.
It sounds like they were, and it would have been nice to talk to both of them. You remind me of two things, Eb. One is that I remember when Jesus spoke to Peter, He said that Satan has come to, you know, ask permission to sift you like wheat. And He didn't stop and say, well, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. He said, when you're through it, strengthen your brethren. And that's what you've done. You've gone through what many of our listeners absolutely fear. It's the worst fear in their life is to lose a loved one. And you've lost two in a 9-month and 2-day period. And what you did almost intuitively as a Christian is you started to strengthen other families that lost their child. The other thing that really is remarkable about your story is that the loss of Kaylee and Tyler was not for naught. It didn't just end there and say, well, that was a loss. You've actually done something with this, haven't you? You started a whole new foundation.
I did. You know, Jeff, when you were saying that too, oh, Satan, he just did a number on me. He did a number on me, and I just had to pray to the Holy Spirit that, you know, He would just clear my mind at night, and I had to really just ask God and get Satan out of my head, because you can start thinking about all your losses and everything that you are missing and what has been taken from you, and just completely bury yourself into an oblivion. And I had to work really hard to, you know, ask God to not take me, to help me not go down that road. And because my kids were so good, and because I know how proud they would be of me, and how disappointed that God and my kids would be if I would just roll over and die, literally, because they were taken, they would be so disappointed. Mm-hmm. And I felt that if because having them in my life ruined my life and killed who their mother was, that their life would be in vain. And I didn't want that ever to be, because they were pretty awesome.
So you started a new foundation. What's the name of it?
I did. It's called KT for Kaylee and Tyler, KT Humble Hearts Foundation. Mm-hmm. And through the foundation, we've raised money for epilepsy and school scholarships, families that are grieving, families that are suffering a loss or a hardship. And we've done some community fellowship events. And with that, we have a website called kathumbleheartsfoundation.org. And we just had a great big event this last weekend. We did a 3-on-3 tournament, and they closed off the streets down by my house here in Sleepy Eye. We had 36 teams, and then we had a big 5K color run up at the park, and a meal and a silent auction. We had about 800 runners, and we had thousands of people come out. Coach Jerry Kill came. He and I became good friends after Kaylee passed away of epilepsy. I reached out to him because he kept saying that this disease couldn't kill him, and I needed him to not say that and start taking good care of himself. So he has come, and this was our second event that he's spoken twice. Jason Gray, who's a Christian artist, he's come to sing for us 2 times now, so this is our second year. And it's just been, it's a free meal. We do t-shirts, we do a silent auction, we do Christian music. It's all faith-filled, and we pray together as a community in surrounding areas, and it's been really remarkable.
So the website is KT Humble Hearts. That's KT for Kaylee and Tyler, KT, yep. HumbleHeartsFoundation.org. And I really encourage all of you to go to the website, learn more about Deb's story. You've done something really remarkable, Deb, and that is that you experienced a great tragedy with the loss of Kaylee and Tyler, but you didn't leave it there. You took that suffering, you offered it up in union with Christ, and now it has become something powerful, or as we would say as Catholics, it has become redemptive. God can do something with the life of Kaylee, the life of Tyler, and your suffering and your husband's suffering, and something that lives beyond June 5th and March 7th. And that is the powerful story, I think, here, is that you didn't lay down and roll over and say, that's it, it's all over. You said, you know what? My children's lives meant something. And in union with Jesus Christ, this can impact the world. And that's what you're doing. And hats off to you. And you're doing a great job. What are the plans for the future?
Well, that's really interesting. You know, we're going to do our event again, and on the boys' one-year anniversary, which was March 7th, 2015, we did We Stand Together in Faith, and it was at the school, and we had youth speakers and youth singing, and it was just a really great festival with, you know, you could just feel the presence of the Lord, and that's what we're going to continue to do. And with me, I thought that I would be the epilepsy sponsor of the world trying to raise money. Mm-hmm. And I thought that, you know, when Tyler passed away, that, you know, it'd be something, you know, with careless driving. I don't know. But, you know, I found that the main thing that I think that I'm supposed to do is just really to love and to help others get to heaven and just to let them know that no matter what, God is there. He's always right there with you. And if you just turn to him, he will carry you through absolutely anything. And I feel that it took my children passing away for me to really be reborn again and to really understand that our journey here on earth is just so temporary, and that what lies ahead is just that's when life begins. But to do the best we can here, help our fellow brothers and sisters get to heaven, and just... I know there's just so much more.
Just keep on keeping on.
Just keep on keeping on.
Yeah, we're talking with Deb Hadley. Amazing story. Lost her 24-year-old daughter, Kaylee, and 20-year-old son, Tyler, within 9 months and 2 days of each other. And I got to ask you, what would you do if something like that happened in your life? And most of us would probably say, I don't know exactly what I would do. And I imagine Deb didn't know exactly what she would do with that if somebody asked her that question. But she did do something, and that is to take the tragedy, offer this up in union with Christ, and beautiful things can come out of it. Deb, what would you say to our listeners right now that have experienced a loss in the last month or so, and whether it be the loss of a loved one or the loss of a job or whatever it might be, what would be your advice to them?
Well, a couple things is that, you know, I hear from so many people, like, I couldn't do it if I were you. I don't know how you do it. And honestly, when you're in a situation, no matter what it is, you really don't have a lot of choice. Your choice is either to grab onto the Lord and look to him for guidance and know that, you know, we all suffer troubles and tragedies, but we can get through, and we can get through this, and that we can become stronger in our faith, and that the Lord will reward us. Mm-hmm. But we just have to tread the waters, and that to just hang on and just pray and just know that this is all just temporary, and that the intense pain, it does go away. The loss is always there. It never goes. That part never goes. It always hurts, and you always miss. But that you just appreciate the many gifts that God has given you, and really look at the beautiful things that are in your life,
Deb,
including the loss.
Has your relationship with the Blessed Mother been deepened as a result of this? I'm thinking in terms of Our Lady standing at the foot of the cross when her son was crucified.
Yeah. It makes you relate to what she felt like, and honestly, the pain that Jesus suffered on the cross. And it makes you really realize how important it was for him to do that for us, because had he not died on the cross so that we could be saved, where would we be?
Right.
And never has Easter been so important to me, and never has Christmas been so important to me. But once you lose a loved one, you realize how important the scripture is, and important that they were all filled along the way, and just what God really, I mean, what he did for us.
Deb, we got to get together sometime and have a cup of coffee, because I want to hear more about your story. But I'm going to invite a friend over, I think. You know, we're going to invite our friend Laura Sobiak. You know, she's the mother of Zach Sobiak, who she lost her son. And I don't know if you know her, but I think you guys would be good friends.
Well, I don't know her. I followed her story. And in fact, Keely was so into Zach's story. And so we watched the videos. And when Keely passed away, We played the song Clouds at her wake. It was playing continuously as people waited, you know, the thousands of people waited in line because of just to pay their respects to her. So I've always just admired what they have done, and they just made the most out of Zach's illness and just truly just what a beautiful life.
Well, I think there's going to be a new friendship forged there, and I want to be a part of that. Deb, I want to thank you for joining us. I know it's been difficult, and you're a courageous woman. And I want to give people your website one more time. It's kthumbleheartsfoundation.org. That's right?
Yep, it's Humble Hearts with an S.
With an S at the end. kthumbleheartsfoundation.org. And thank you for joining us, and look forward to getting to know you and to see what God does in your life and how he continues to use you. Folks, it's that's an amazing story, and I don't know what your story is, but Deb, she did it right. You know, she went to the Lord, and the Lord can raise up an amazing story out of tragedy, and she's a great testimony to that. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we got so many more things happening in the Archdiocese. We don't want you to miss any of them. This is the Rediscover Hour.
Hello, this is Dave Gustafson with Corporate Auto Rentals. Having a fleet of cars on the road means glass service is often needed. For several years, we have exclusively used Mike and Nancy Jasperson of Auto Glass Installed. Quality has always been great. Price is the lowest we've found. And service? Mike's service is outstanding. So ours is not a one-time experience, but years of satisfaction with Auto Glass Installed. We highly recommend them to you.
Thank you, Dave, for your kind words. Hello, I'm Nancy Jasperson, and my husband Michael and I own Auto Glass Installed and are proud Relevant Radio supporters. We have been so incredibly honored by the amount of business and support we have received from Relevant Radio listeners like you.
Please contact Auto Glass Installed for all your auto glass needs today at 763-274-0177. That's 763-274-0177. Or go to relevantradio.com and type in keyword glass. That's keyword glass.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Wow, what a talk today with Deb Hadley. I hope you got to catch that. If you just joined us, you got to go back into our archives at archspm.org, and you got to listen to the Relevant Radio section where we have all of our shows in the past that are actually there, and you can go back and listen to them. But the show with Deb Hadley and what God did in her life, you've got to go back and you've got to listen to that. That's one of the great things happening around the Twin Cities and the surrounding areas. And Paul, we've got a lot of great things happening, don't we?
In fact, this fall, Wine Women in the New Evangelization is launching its parish programs. If you'd like to learn more about wine and the possibility of starting a wine group in your parish, join them for a wine tasting Monday, June 22nd, 6:30 to 8 p.m. at Our Lady of Grace in Edina. To find out more and register, visit catholicvineyard.com. Click on the events tab.
Next Saturday, June 27th, join in a holy hour in Mass for Religious Freedom. It's at the Cathedral of St. Paul with Archbishop John Neinstedt. Catholics across the nation are being encouraged by the United States Catholic bishops to pray for rebuilding a culture favorable to life and marriage, and for increased protections of religious liberty. A holy hour will begin at the Cathedral of St. Paul on June 27th at 6 p.m., followed by Mass at 7 p.m. For questions, call the Office of Marriage and Family Life at 651-291-4488.
Parents, are you looking for some fun activities for the kids this summer? Don't miss James and the Giant Peach at Open Window Theater. This exciting and creative children's production runs June 24th to the 28th. It's the culmination of Season 9 of the E-Rhapsody Youth Theater Program by Jeremy Stanbury. Go to openwindowtheater.org or call 612-615-1515. Get your tickets today.
What are you doing on June 28th? That's a Sunday, June 28th at 2:30 p.m. The Church of St. Michael in Farmington, Minnesota will host a concert given by the National Catholic Youth Choir. The choir is a liturgically based choir open to youth entering 9th through 12th And the singers will learn how the treasury of sacred music, including Gregorian chant, Palestrina, and Mozart, fit into Catholic worship today. Concert's free, open to the public.
This year's Archdiocesan Rural Life Sunday celebration is June 28th, hosted by Most Holy Trinity Catholic Church in Vesely, and held at the Piper Family Farm beginning at 1:30 p.m. It includes Mass with Bishop Pichet presiding, and polka-style music, creation blessing. Following, there will be food and refreshments, as well as family fun activities. Join the parishioners from Most Holy Trinity and others from throughout the Archdiocese to pray, remember, and celebrate all the good things God has given us in our rural way of life. All are welcome.
Summer morning retreat for junior high and high school students with Father Richard Simon, host of the Relevant Radio Show, Father Simon Says. That's on Friday, July 17th. The retreat will start with Mass and sung Divine Mercy Chaplet at Holy Family Church in St. Louis Park. The morning will continue at Chesterton Academy in Edina with a spiritual reflection and live broadcast of Father Simon Says. Students entering 7th grade through high school are invited to submit questions in advance for the show. For more details and registration information, visit chestertonacademy.org. That's chestertonacademy.org.
Great show today. What have you got next week?
It really was. Next week, we've got an encore presentation of the show from February on Catholic education. So many people are interested in Catholic education. How do we have an impact on our children? Well, there's a good Catholic school waiting for your kids. Just takes your involvement. That's what we're going to talk about next time on the Rediscover Hour. Until then, remember, Jesus has a plan for your life. Pray for us. We'll continue to pray for you. We might meet you on the street as we evangelize together. God bless you. We'll see you next time.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, Rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.